opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right, we're here. We're here at DDB Radio one more time every single Saturday from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock at www.mikebroadcastddb.com. All right. And I want you to really understand that I'm going to be challenging something that we're so used to. And I will admit that the style of ministry that God has given me is quite difficult for some people to embrace this message. But I really believe that the church is going through radical changes in our nation. The mere fact that Donald Trump in 2017, well, 2016 was the election, 2017 he took office, and for 1 year has been radical changes, and a candidate that people thought could never be elected got elected. And so, as you know, I don't push any candidacy in any of my shows. I just happen to look at the laws of success. I'm trying to figure out, as much as people say they hate him, I'm still trying to figure out how he got elected. But it really amazes me how many people hate him and can't stand him. But I think they went inside their voting booth and pulled the lever for him, but wouldn't tell them when they did, which kind of like reminds me of myself, how people tend to act like they're not with you. But then what happened is they come and ask you questions, ask them to pray for you and support them, but they never come out and say they're with you. And so I know that's human nature. So I want to talk a little bit today about radical forms of ministry outside of the 11 a.m. model, and that the structure of how we see church is slowly and quickly changing. And so you're going to really have to take some good notes today. You go to the Gospel chapter 5 of John. Now, if you've been watching my Mike Live shows, if you've been watching some of the things I've been doing, I've been letting you know prophetically that this year, 2018, 38th year in ministry. That's right. I started at 17 years old. And as of this year, it'll be 38 years. Kind of remind me of the character in John chapter 5 who sat at the pool for 38 years. And an angel came down in one season out of a year who would stir the pool water. And the first person that gets in supposed to be made whole and made well. And the funny thing is, God sent the angel down once a year in one season. And out of tens of thousands of people, only the first person that got in was made whole. You know, when I read the story, I say, God, really? One person? Because God is always after something deeper than what you think. He's always after something that really doesn't align to what you think. He always goes bigger and greater than what you could think, dream, or imagine, according to the power that works in you. So it really determines on what is going on the inside of you. It makes a big deal to know what's going on the inside of you, what is in your heart, what's in your mind, what's in your consciousness, what's inside your imagination. That is the power that determines how much God does at the reference of exceedingly, abundantly, above more that you can even ask, think, dream, or imagine. And so I honor all those that might live, to Brenda Taylor, Thaddeus Parker, to Susan Kirkland, God bless you, Miss Pastor Kirkland, Marcus G. Barnes, to Taryn T. Council, my seventh grade buddy, School 21 buddy, to, of course, Leda Darasaw, I think is how you say it, and, of course, Daniel Johnson, minister in training, who has adopted a school on 27th Street and 15th Avenue with their pastor, Pastor Sharon. And so if you go to John chapter 5, I want to really highlight a book I wrote back in the early 90s called Project Takeover, and I'm showing a picture of it on Mike Live. And it has, has an old cover to it, because this book has to be reprinted and redone. Thanks to Repro Man, Brother Glenn Brown, who helped to produce this book. And now I'm going to remake this book, the cover of it, and update the information, because this book is still historical. It's what God has called me to do in this radical year of 2018. And that is to get the local church mobilized. It's to get the local church outside the four walls. It's to get the local church to get involved with issues other than just hooping and hollering on a Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock, and then start looking at people funny when it's after 1 o'clock. I want to show you that the days of the week, all seven of them belong to God, not just Sunday. And when you start using terms like Sunday, Saturday, Thursday, those are all Greek terms, all right? Folks be bugging me out. They are all religious on one side, and then you see them asking what days of the week, and they be using Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. When I say, Sunday's named after the sun. They named it after the sun. It's Greek mythology. Thursday's named after Thor, all right, the god of thunder. You know, Saturday's named after Saturn Day, Saturn, the planet. So if folks are so religious on one side, when they use the days of the week, they still don't understand that it's still infected and impacted by Greek mythology. And so my thing is, if you're going to try to act deep and spiritual and religious all the time, please know your history, know what you're saying, all right? We just happen to be religious at our own convenience. You know, it's almost like we have church service at our convenience. Now, we don't want to inconvene God. No. We don't want ourselves to be inconvenient. We want God to be inconvenient. So we already told God, okay, God, this is what time you're going to move. Watch how stupid this sounds. You're going to move every Sunday at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, all right? Because that's the time we all meet, Lord. We're going to pigeonhole you in to 2 hours out the week on a Sunday morning service. We call it Sunday, too, and that name is not even in the Bible. Sunday morning service, lock you into 2 hours, and God forbid if you go past 2 hours, all right? And we know Sunday is the Lord's day, you know, and anything other than that is less than normal. Something's wrong. So if I do the same thing on Saturday, it's like it's worse than Sunday. Our mindset, our ignorance is so bad that when someone brings you the truth, it's almost like you become the enemy. As a matter of fact, I forgot what show it was where the guy said, "You can't handle the truth." You know, and I kind of feel that sometimes God wants to give us the truth and tell it to us, but we're not ready to embrace it. And then we fight it because truth means radical change, radical difference. It means also readjusting your thinking, readjust how you see things, readjust how you perceive things, readjust of your perception. All right. And so when you read John chapter 5, which I call this the Mighty Sons of God training chapter, and this is where I actually developed my whole ministry from with John chapter 5, because Jesus Christ shows it radically in the middle of a healing service. And all these folks looking at a pool of water, about tens of thousands of them, and only one, and only the first person gets in, get healed. That's like the tithe. And the other 99 go home until next year. So this is one healing at one season at 1 year. And only the first person that gets in gets the healing. And so there's a whole lot of disappointment going on, man. There's a whole lot of disappointment. If 10,000 folk are at the pool of Bethesda and only the first person gets in is healed, then what about the other 99 some thousand people? They got to go home and try it again next year. And apparently, this guy was trying this for 38 years. You got to understand the spirit of disappointment. And when disappointment sets in and you're not working on your dream and your vision, you're going to live with the spirit of being feeling rejected, not loved by God, that God overlooked you and gave something greater to someone else. Unless you have a great teacher or an equipper that can awaken you to your divine purpose and the plan. So I'm going to speak a little bit today about raising up radical ministries outside of the local church model at 11 o'clock. Now, I will admit that what I'm teaching is quite challenging. I will admit that what I am teaching will not be received by some of the traditional leaders in our church circles. I will admit it is not going to be received by everyone, but I've learned you're not sent to everyone. You're sent to certain people, certain individuals. And that's why you get disappointment, because you're disappointed because you're trying to connect with a relationship that God has already rejected. Guys, I don't want you connecting with them. So it's time out for this, what we call the citywide meetings. Let's get everybody to come together. Let's call all the preachers in the same room. It's not going to work because everybody is not coming, because time you find, let me tell you the mentality of people. Time you say, I'm going to send out a flyer and I'm going to invite everybody to the same room. Time the flyer go out. The first question going to be, well, who's calling the meeting? And if it's not them that's calling it, they're going to tell their folk don't support it. That's the game of politics. And politics is in the church. Politics is in government. Politics is in family. Politics is in the music industry. Politics is every place you go, because politics deals with people and people's leadership styles. And so if someone is insecure and they're a leader and they feel you about to take their place, they're going to spoil you, destroy you, disdain you before you even rise up. That's the mentality of American culture. You know, it's funny when I look at politics and look at how politics is ran. You know, it's funny. You know, when Barack Obama was the president, he was called like the worst president of all time. They couldn't stand him. They dogged this black president out, man. They dogged him, wouldn't support him from the Republican side. Even some Democrats would not support this brother. First black president, you know, and they dogged him out, right? He was the worst president until Donald Trump showed up. Now they want Barack Obama to come back. Well, you didn't embrace him when he was the president. You know, so it's human nature not to embrace the president that God allowed to come into power, all right? Because people choose, in the democracy and the republic, you get to choose, all right? And so you get what you get. And then after that point, you got to pray, you got to navigate, you got to politic properly. But we never gave Barack Obama a high level of respect. We're definitely not giving respect to Donald Trump right now either. And so you get both sides. But when I learned that same mentality lies amongst the clergy, because I'm like the fly on the wall. I'm the type of guy be in the meeting, everybody be saying the same thing. And I look at the scriptures, I look at what's going on. And I always like to ask the question that people don't want to answer. It's almost like there's the pink elephant in the room and you don't want to talk about it. You know, it's funny. I say this all the time, but it always bears repeating. You know, and I was one time I was on a business trip with Dr. T.D. Jakes. And Dr. Miles Monroe, my spiritual father, was there. LL Cool J, a lot of these rich, spirit-filled, love Jesus athletes, they were all on the same ship. And this was the time when George Bush was the president. And T.D. Jakes had a thing called Business on the Sea. My daughter was about 4 years old, and my wife and I went to spend 7 days on the sea with T.D. Jakes. And I'm going to show you how politics is, man. It's funny, man. And this is why you can't never let people move you. You got to stay fixed on the target. And T.D. Jakes had the nerve to have a Q&A session. Now, he don't shut the whole ship down. The floor where they do the gambling was shut down. He shut down the alcohol. So this was a ship full of spirit-filled Christian believers, supposedly. All right. Blacks, whites, everybody speaking in tongues. All deep, all spiritual, crying and weeping, right? And then T.D. Jakes had the nerve to have a Q&A session, right? And all these folks are asking all these nice questions. They was asking all these, oh, God, I'm baptized with water. They're asking all these nice questions, you know, asking all these nice, deep, and all these spirit-filled, you know. How do you know you're led by the Spirit? How do you know when Jesus is coming near? How do you do all-night prayer meeting? You know, they was asking all these nice, you know, these type of questions that's well received by everybody. What I call the nice questions, you know. You know me. I'm always trying to figure out a way to get information that folks want to talk about. I'm the type of guy willing to take the hit for you because you're afraid to ask it. I'm the type of guy that'll go out there on the limb, walk on the water when you find it comfortable, stay in the boat. And so I was sitting there and I was watching all the folks ask all the questions. Hello, Michelle Hicks. Hello, D'Angelo. Hello, Anessa. Hello, Anthony Vale. Hello, Pastor Jesus. And of course, President Crystal. Movie was two. That's right. Was A Few Good Men. You Can't Handle the Truth. Thank you, President Crystal. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I was watching all these nice questions. Right. Right. So. I reached over to my wife. I said, you know what? I'm tired of all these nice questions. How come you don't really ask the real question? You're afraid to ask the real question. And I got in line, right? And it's about 20 folks standing in line, too. And I waited in line, and I caught a glimpse of Dr. Masro looking at me. He winked at me and looked back at him. And LL Cool J was up. There was all these people, right? And I got to the mic. You know, I'm not your normal pastor. I wear braids. I'm 6'5", you know. I'm probably taller than the normal preacher. You know, I kind of look young for my age. You know what I'm saying? And so I came to, my voice is kind of boisterous, kind of loud too. And I came to the microphone and Michelle Hicks and D'Angelo, I said, Dr. T.D. Jakes, can I ask you a question? Said, yes, you can, sir. I said, you're a pastor over the Potter's Church Ministry. You have close to probably 15,000 members, which includes Republicans and Democrats. When I said those two words, the whole room got quiet. Everybody just shut down. All the talking stopped. Everybody was focused on the question. There were cameras there. They was taking pictures. Right? Did I say it? You've served as the pastor of the Potter's House under President Clinton's administration. Now you're under George Bush administration. You've led a major church full of Democrats and Republicans in your own congregation. Tell me, who was the best president in your perspective for the Christian church? And it was so quiet. Everybody from Dr. Miles Monroe, LL Cool J, all these major folk were looking at T.D. Jakes to see whether you're going to kowtow to the question. And when I asked the question, the whole place became quiet. And I felt like a lot of folk wanted to ask the question, but they was too punk to do so. And so let me give you a principle before I teach where I'm going with this, and don't let me forget this. There are so many things that people want to ask and don't want to ask because they'd be called an ass. I'm going to try it again. There's so many things that people want to ask, and because they don't want to ask, they're called an ass. Well, I'm telling you right now, I don't care what folks think about me. I'm sorry. You can do what you want. You can support. You don't have to support. I'm a chaser for the truth. Whether I'm living it, whether I'm messing it up, I want to know the truth. At least let me know the truth and give me the opportunity to obey it or not. But I don't want to live a lie. So when I asked the question, and it was so quiet, and T.D. Jakes came to the mic, and he took a breath, man. He took a breath. He said, I'm going to say something, and I thought, no, this is not going to please everybody in the room. And the room got even quieter. Now, there's like 10,000 people in this room. Maybe I'm old, 10,000 on the ship, but at least 5,000 was in this room. It was a large room in this on this ship, this big ship. He said, I am a man of God that goes into any president's office, and I pray for any president. I don't care whether they're Democrat or Republican. And I've served under Clinton, and I've served under the Bushes. And this is what he said, which everybody got, it got so quiet. He said, out of all the presidents, he said, George Bush was the best president for the Christian church. And you could hear a pin fall in there. It was so quiet. He said, thank you, young man, for the question. He said, next question. I said, yo, T.D. Jakes says George Bush was the best president for the Christian church. And it was so quiet. It was so quiet because everybody expected him to say Clinton. He said George Bush. And he said it out loud in front of all of his Potter members. I said, boy, you took a risk to say that, man. Did you know that I became the instant celebrity on the ship? Everybody would walk up to me and ask me, and say, and this is what they were saying. I wanted to ask the same question, but I was too scared to ask. And when I saw this tall black man talking, man, you my hero. And a lot of people was hugging me. That's all I did was ask a question, which goes to show there are things that people want to do and they're too scared to try it. They're too scared to step out because they're too worried about what folks think about them and how they're going to be rejected. Well, I don't give a rat's behind what you think about me because I realize you're going to be born by yourself. You're going to die by yourself. And you can sit in that boat all you want and allow other folks to talk you out of your dreams. But only the people who are bold enough to get up and try something new, you never get anything new. How we keep doing the same old thing and want new results? That's the traditional church, 11 o'clock a.m. model. That's the only thing we push why Monday through Saturday, folks robbing, killing. Patterson got a high homicide rate, high levels of unemployment. And we got all these ministry gifts, all these gifts and talents that sit in our pulpits because we only focus on one day out the week, which is Sunday. We have reduced the Christian church down to one day out the week. And God forbid if it go to over 2 hours. I was chuckling under my breath because the question made me a celebrity. Maybe celebrity. And LL Cool J came up to me, started talking to me, and other celebrities were hugging me. I kept saying to my wife, all I did was ask a question. But apparently so many folk wanted to ask the same question, but they was too punk to ask the question, which proves that there's so many things that are sitting inside of people and they will never step out and do it because they're so concerned what folk would think about them. Let me tell you something about people. People will cry with you for a little while. They'll wipe your tears for a little while. After a while, they'll be like, well, I got my own life to live. People don't care after a while. If it's not going to improve their lives, you're not putting money in their pocket, they don't care after a while. So I've learned, if you can believe it, you can conceive it. If you can step out and try it, go for yours. And if you sink trying, at least you got wet. At least you got the experience of know what it feels like to be wet. We got dry boat sitting Christians who never try anything different besides attending a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. And we get really excited if we go to Sunday school. So somehow we get credit for attending a physical building. And so we get like trophy marks. So we get like certificates from God for attending two meetings, a Sunday school at 9:30 to 10:30, half an hour break, 11 o'clock church service. Like we're going to get to heaven and God going to reward us for attending the church service. That's not what the reward is for. The reward is for being faithful to the race God has given you to run and how well you kept the faith and how well you connected to your brothers and sisters, no matter what the rejection was. And we don't want to deal with this. We don't like to deal with anything new. If it's not the same old thing, if it's not what the next person is doing, if God decides to give you something different, all of a sudden you the devil. You know, he don't rebel. You know, he's Satan. He the demon. Why? Because I'm not doing it the way you want it to be done. I read something on a page by Dr. Meissen Mason. I think that's his name. And one of the ladies posted something I thought was powerful. He says, the church is the only people I know that would pigeonhole God into one day out the week on a Sunday morning from 11 o'clock to 1 and for God to mess up our schedules. Like we got schedules, like we own stuff. Everything you got from God. You don't own nothing. Listen, I'm going to say this open and over. You own nothing. Yes, I do, Pastor Mike. I own my house. No, you don't. No, you don't. Stop paying them taxes. And which you don't never, you can never stop paying taxes. Just act like you're not going to pay taxes. They'll do a tax lien sale on your house and it'll take your house from you. If you're paying mortgage on your house, you don't own it. The bank owns it. So at the end of the day, what do you own? You own yourself? No, you can get old, you're going to die. You own your clothes, they're going to get old, have to be given away. What do you own? You own your teeth, you're going to fall out after a while. What do your hair, you're going to get old. You own nothing. And so when I look at what people put so much emphasis on, it is so funny. So guess what? And the story don't stop. So I'm on the ship, right? I'm on the ship. And people walk up to me, and of course we got into the conversation, Democrats versus Republicans, and I can't believe he said it about George Bush. You know, he's the demon, he's the devil, and then some person, I think Clinton was the devil. And like the church is also split over political, cultural wars. The church ain't even united. We're not even on principles, what we believe, what we stand on. We after personalities. We even split. That's why the world is a mess, because the church is a mess, all right? My sister Chris is a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Thank you, Raphael McDuffie, for tuning in. Thank you, Kahaha. I'm the person that takes the hit for everyone. I don't care how I look. That's me, Chris. That's right. Change cannot happen unless someone asks the hard question. Thank you, Cynthia, my SITU student. And this is what I'm pushing for as an apostle of radical change. I'm trying to find those ministers that are sitting in the cars, sitting in the pews, sitting in the bars, sitting at the party scene, and raise them up and send them after their friends and their family. And they may never come to the Sunday morning model. I think we have pigeonholed God into a day out of the week. Hello, the Sabbath is not a day. The Sabbath is a person. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. When you enter in the Christ, you enter in the rest. No longer being agitated about the keeping of the Mosaic law. I got to get a ram. I got to get a bull. I got to get this. You're just worn out. Christ is your Sabbath. He kept the law for you. So you receive Christ as your Savior. It looks like you kept the law. So God no longer looks at you as keeping the law or whether you're sinless or not. He made you sinless in Christ. And as you trust and believe in him, it's as if you never sinned before. All right, this is very powerful. So, I'm trying to show you that the person that asks the hard questions, the person that challenges the system, is the one they call the devil. And I'm going to tell you right now, and let me just get some. I'm going to go to John chapter 5. I'm trying to show you something so clear. Please understand me. When Dr. Martin Luther King, the one we talk about, I have a dream, I have a dream. We always quote this scripture. I was talking to someone the other day, and they told me, how can we always talk about he had a dream, and it looked like he got assassinated 5 days later, not knowing he had the dream speech in August 1963, the year I was born. Okay, my father was there, too, when he made that speech. And in April of 1964, he was assassinated, 1968, on the 4th, he was assassinated. So there were months in between the I Have a Dream speech. But America and a lot of the groups who want their own way, you know, gay rights, midget rights, women rights, we always use the I Have a Dream speech. But we don't talk about the other things that Dr. King did that was quite radical. He talked about how come the black folks can't get their 40 acres and a mule. He don't tell black folks to pull themselves about the bootstraps. He said, well, first give me some boots. So Dr. King was radical. All right. And don't take his nonviolent approach as not being violent. He was violent spiritually. They prayed and did things. There was stone thrown in jail. This guy was a radical guy. Struggled with cigarettes, was afraid of thunderstorms and lightning. And The word is he went out on the porch to smoke a cigarette, and that's when the bullet caught him. And he was hanging out with other folks who was jealous of his authority and his success. So he was operating in the kingdom from the limited information he walked in, but it was enough to change the course of history. So I learned some things from the life of Dr. King. You must be willing to die before you can live. You must be willing to stick your neck out there to go for something that other folks say, you crazy. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't live like that. Well, that's why you ain't me. I like that. Isn't that why you're not me? Someone used to always say this to me, well, Pastor May, if I was you, I would do it differently. No, you wouldn't. If it were me, you'd do it the same way because you'd be me. Because that's a dumb thing to say. So what I learned is that someone got to be bold enough and radical enough to see things differently and try new various ways of ministry production. And don't expect everybody to come clapping hands and celebrate it, because most folks will jump on the train after the train is moving. Nikki and this woman of God here, who I am honoring, and I thank you, Nikki, for tuning in. She has a special call, son, who survived a tremendous sickness, and they had told her to abort her son. See, I'm not aborting nothing. I'm not murdering my son. I'm a stand. And God allowed this child to live and survive, and he's a living witness. And not just her son. She got all her children are specially anointed. And Nikki, because of her tenacity, her prayer life, you stood, girl. You've been on TV. Mr. Vic, the quarterback, the ex-quarterback of Philadelphia and Jets, honored you. You also been hanging out with the guy from that played, what's the famous thing? What's the thing that comes on TV? They own a bar. They own a club. What's the famous thing? The black show that's on, everybody love it. The girl that got the eyes. What's her name? Someone help me out, Crystal. Travis Miller, help me out. Raphael, help me out. It comes on TV now. It's a real popular show, like a black show. And they own a club. You know, the two sons, one son sings, another son does rap. What is it? Empire, all right? And the starring actor in Empire is now connected to Nikki because, thank you, Nikki, because you was determined to do it the way God told you to do it. You didn't let folks punk you out and talk you out of it. And there's so many ministries and so many people that want to do something for God, but they're pigeonholed into the 11 o'clock a.m. service. Thank you, Tanya Gray. I really believe that there's so many people that are saved and love the Lord and never set foot into a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. And don't be dogging them out. Because some of these churches, oh, waste of time. I'm sorry. I know I would get stoned for this. And I've been to some service. I've been like, should I just stay home and watch the football game? This is a waste of time. And this is why you have to find the most effective ministry. Those that are really doing what I call the advancement of the kingdom. So back to my story. So I'm on the ship. I asked a question, and I became an instant celebrity. So white folks, black folks walk up to me, ask me questions, and what church you from, where you from. And I got a lot of followers on my social media page, even that back then, because I asked one radical question, which I thought was a normal question. But here was the biggest thing. T.D. Jakes came to look for me. All right. Now, this is funny. I'm sitting down eating, and someone comes over there, T.D. Jakes want to talk to you. And they came and got me, and I sat down with T.D. Jakes and had a one-on-one conversation. That's how I got to know T.D. Jakes. And it was based on me asking a question that most folks would not ask. I learned a principle. Here's the principle. No matter how saved you are, how deep you are, there's always a certain group of people that would not get out the boat. I don't care how deep you are, how saved you are, how long you've been speaking in tongues, how deep you are. There's some folks who would justify limitations. And if you decide to go outside the boat, they say, don't you go outside that boat. Master gonna get you. Don't you go outside that boat. Master gonna get you. You know, we slaves been sent down to hold down the fort. Anytime you start talking about, I'm going to escape, I'm going to run, I don't want to live like this. Now, Harriet Tubman, don't you try to leave. You know, we some good slave boys, you know. And Harriet Tubman said, I freed about 300 slaves. She said, I would have freed more if they knew they were slaves. You know how deep that is? So there's a mentality of people that who don't even know they slaves. I'm not there talking to the white man. Slaves to traditional church thinking. And they don't think church goes any deeper than the Sunday morning model. We don't even think about church on a Wednesday morning. A church on a Friday night, or church 12 o'clock at night for those who work different shifts. We don't think about service. Like, we don't think that church could take place in a backyard of a McDonald's restaurant. We don't, because we think a church is a steeple, a choir robes. There's some folk don't want to hear no choir sing. They're interested in choir music. They don't want to hear no music. They're interested in oil, messing their suits up. They want to sit down, talk about real life issues so you can minister to them, so you can really do what I call a project takeover. That's the book I'm holding up here. See how worn out this cover is? I gave this book to a pastor. He read it. Just a true story. He gave the book back to me. He said, Pastor Mike, if I gave this book out to my congregation, I would lose half my folk. I said, oh, you mean they're going to operate like they're supposed to? He said, yeah, but my church is built off of tithes and offerings. If they got a hold of this book, these folks would be starting home Bible study. They'll be sharing the word amongst their family. They'll be helping folk out on their own. So I was listening to him talk. I said, yo, man, if you built your own ministry off of your lies, that's going to collapse anyway. So you mean to tell me you're not going to push my book because that will allow the people to be independent of your system? He said, yeah, you got that right. So he has been successful off of an erroneous model because the people that take care of him pays the tithes and offerings. This book is dangerous because it teaches you that the role of the church is to make the family independent of sucking off the pastor. So you can train the father and the parents how to raise up their own kids and the admonition of the Lord. Then make the local church the gathering of the local families. But don't take the place of the father. Don't take the place of the priest. Don't make everybody feel because they don't come to your Sunday morning service at Sunday. They're not all right. See, we got the whole system backwards. So when you ask this question or produce a book that challenges the model, all of a sudden you have become an enemy. All right. You'll be surprised how many people I minister to that will not let folks know they go to my church. Listen, I'm trying to deep this in. They will learn from me through my social media circle, and they would never tell anyone I'm learning from Pastor Mike, because they know once they say that, they're going to dog Pastor Mike out. They're going to dog me out because they don't want you to get free. Now you have to be real bold to come out saying I support Pastor McDuffie. I'll admit that. I understand. It reminds me of Apostle Paul. As many miracles he performed in the book of Acts, he raised someone from the dead. This guy got whipped, and then the angel opened the door. This guy wrote 66% of the New Testament. And in the book of Corinthians, you can read it, he was telling them, am I not an apostle? You mean to tell me there were fellow apostles that rejected Apostle Paul? I will go out on the limb to say that the Apostle Peter probably did not get along with Apostle Paul. Peter was sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And Peter didn't write as many books of the New Testament like Paul did, but Peter hung out with Jesus on the earth while Paul met Jesus in the third heaven during his Damascus Road experience, or when he got stoned to death. See, so I hello, Apostle Joy. God bless you. Major rejection for you, girl, but God raised you up. You and your sister are so powerful. Thank God for my girl, Cynthia. Is it Cynthia Crystal, who helped runs my SITU? She brags so much about you, Apostle Joy. God bless you, woman of God. Pray for Pastor McDuffie. And it's funny that when you start challenging the traditional church and try to make them think outside the box, they'll do a silent treatment on you. They won't invite you in to speak anymore. They won't allow you to do any workshops. And they'll do it in the name of the Lord, though. They'll do it by saying praise. They'll say, praise the Lord. Don't support him. They'll say, thank you, Jesus. Don't support her. Hallelujah. Ignore them. See, and they'll spit out one side of their mouth. They're teaching unity and togetherness and let's unify in the name of Jesus. But behind scenes, they say, don't go to that person's Bible study. Don't listen to their church stuff. Don't go on their line. Ignore them. And that's the game of what I call mental instability, double-mindedness. And this is the challenge that will happen to you when you start thinking outside the box. Now, let me just say this to balance off the message. I have no problem with the Sunday morning model if it advances the kingdom and it goes back to equipping and training the saints. The only time I have a problem with the Sunday model is the pastor is only interested in fattening his pocket for tithing and giving offerings. And if it looks like his members are going to go someplace else to sow seed and give tithes, he shut everything down. That's called a control mechanism. Now, I will admit that what I teach is quite radical and dangerous because most of our local churches live off the tithing and offering of the people. But I got a problem if your system lives off the tithes and offerings of the people, but you're not bringing any services to your people. Where are the degree programs? Where are the college programs? Where is the increase of salary? If the path to make six figure and everybody in the church is on welfare, I got a problem with that model. I got a problem with the pastor got five good-looking cars and no one in your church got a license to drive. See, I got a problem with the great divide. So if I bring attention to the issue, I become the enemy. And this is why God raised me up on the other side of the mountain, because I realize I'm sent to bring a radical and apostolic message to a people that want to be free. Now, I will let you know, I'm on the devil's hit list. He will attack me financially. He will come after me and scatter my people. He'll try to get me to become discouraged. But every once in a while, God will send me support from the strangest places who will encourage me, who will talk to me, who will say, Pastor Mike, keep on going. Brother Steve, I love that brother. Brothers, every time I come to Steve, your prayer, your support, I pray that God will bless Steve. I pray that God will bless Jose, my number one fan. And also may God bless a brother named, another brother named Steve. I call him Steve Olympio, who is my Italian brother who I love because he always helps me out. And I like folk who help you out with asking 50,000 questions. They just say, we see what you're doing, Pastor Mike. Keep up the good work, brother. We're praying for you. I love folk like that because they always got a sense of feeling what you're feeling. And you're willing to step out and go for the deeper water. I'm telling you. And God will send you people like that. All right. So watch this. So I'm on the ship. I didn't forget. I'm on the ship, right? And T.D. Jakes asked me to come over there. And T.D. Jakes and myself sit down and talk about ministry. We spent about 20, 25 minutes, and he refused to let anyone mess with us as we talk. I talked about ministry in Patterson. He talked about, even as T.D. Jakes, how he's disrespected. This is T.D. Jakes talking to me. As big as his church is, how he feels sometimes dishonored. And I thought about myself, God, there's this guy, a mega church ministry of close to 20,000 people, and he's talking to me about being discouraged. I had my mouth open like, really? I said, whoa. So the size of the ministry is not always as important as the size of the fight that's inside of you. And so you're never, don't be blown away by people who got so much stuff, got millions of dollars, but they broke in terms of relationships and finding true friends. And for some reason, T.D. Jakes found me a good guy to talk to and talked to me about a half an hour. You know, it's funny. He said, son, I told him the truth. I know I made some folks mad on this ship, but he said, George Bush gave most of the money to Africa. He helped out Africa. He gave a lot of stuff to Africa, more than any other president. He said, I sat with him when he sent millions of dollars over to Africa. He said, I was there. I was part of the administration. I helped did it. And I was so blown away by the support we got from George Bush. I said, wow, he's a Republican. Wow. I said, He said, I don't care who they are, Republican or Democrat. If I have an agenda that I need to get across and they work with me, we on one team. And I thought about that. So it's not the title. It's not the political party. It's the people that help you get the agenda across. That's the key to the issue. I vote for people in my county and city, not because they're Democrats, because they're true people. People like Benji and Shabanda and people like that who I know are about the kingdom business. Now, they got some other stuff I don't agree with. I'll tell you right now. And I stay in their case all the time behind closed doors. I support certain council people who understand the true ministry of support versus just politicking. And I lift up mayors. I've prayed for Joey Torres. I've prayed for different leaders. 10 minutes for my first break. What time I got? For the first break? What time is it? It's 2:50. Oh, my God. I went 2:50. Oh, my Jesus. All right. Go to John 5. Let me just read this to you. Oh, Lord have mercy. Thank you, my engineer. In John 5, verse 1 says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Jews. Now, there at Jerusalem, near the sheep gate at the pool, was an Aramaic called the Pool of Bethesda. And there was surrounded by the five covered porches a great number of disabled people. Blind, lame, and halt. Or a term paralyzed. Blind can't see. Lame means they don't have full motion. They held up. Paralyzed means something is not moving. Something is halt. Something stops. And what you find out that these are the three different type of churches stuck at the pool of Bethesda. And they all got one movement. Look at the pool until an angel come to stir the water to get in. And only the one that's looking at the pool gets the victory. Now watch, this is the local church model. They got one movement, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock a.m., 9 o'clock Sunday school. That's the thing. Look at the pool. They only focus on the pool. And keep this in mind, only the person focused at the pool only gets the opportunity to get in the pool if you're the first one to get in. So wherever your vision is locked into will determine the various ways or the limited ways how God blesses you. So if your mind and your heart and your belief system is locked in or pigeonholed into one way of doing something, you're already defeated. So Jesus shows up. This is what I like, verse 5. There was a man that was there 38 years. And verse 6 says, Jesus walks up and saw the man lying there. Now, here's the thing that messed me up, and hear me closely. There are about 5,000 to 10,000 sick people around that pool, and they're paralyzed, they're blind, and can't move. So some people can't see, some folks are stopped, and some folks are shriveled up. These are all church folk. These are sinners. These are human beings. And they only focus on one pool of one angel who stirs it one time in the year in one season. And I want the first one to jump in and get it. They get it. I'm healed. And the other folk go, oh, and they got to go home and wait till next year because they got their mind pigeonholed into one way of movement. But here comes Jesus. That's okay, Kershaw. That's all right. Here comes Jesus, walks up to the man. And who is Jesus? He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that makes the water. He's the living water. So while you're limited on the pool, you got the guy that made the pool. Listen how deep this is. You locked into a system and you're meeting the God that made the system. So because your eyes were in the wrong direction, you miss Christ walking up and talking to the man by himself. I got 2 minutes left. I want to show you this. When he saw the man that had been there for 38 years, for a long time, he said to the impotent man, impotent. He had all the equipment. It just was not functioning. All the stuff was there, but it's not as firm as it should be. Y'all get that later. All the stuff is there, but something is disconnected. He gets up. He asks the man, you want to be whole? And the man starts making excuses. Every time I try to get in, someone get in front of me. Every time we do something different, folks, that's never been done before. Every time I want to get out the boat, folks, I'm not getting out there. That's church folk. They don't see anything beyond what they used to. Now, I got to begin to close out this DDV radio show. I'm going to take Mike live for a few more minutes after I walk off here because I want to get a point across. I want you to walk with me. Now, this Sunday morning, which is tomorrow, I invite you out to 535 Broadway at 9 a.m. to 10:30, my regular church service. And we have heat. The buildings get renovated, but we're in a classroom. Don't miss it tomorrow. And, of course, the time, 9 a.m. to 10:30, 90 minutes, Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. I'm going to be doing more teaching on John chapter 5. Don't miss it, all right? And don't get sidetracked. Don't get pigeonholed. And don't get, well, how can we got to be rushed out the building? Because we only need 90 minutes right now. Everything else is outside the four walls. Don't miss it tomorrow at the Mighty Sons of God Fellowship Church. And you can also go to my Cash app and support me. Don't just say, I enjoy Pastor Mike. Support me. I got to go. Thank you for watching and listening to DDV Radio. God bless you.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you're looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait and switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.